Pictet has been managed privately since its founding in 1805, meaning that our partners have dealt with the same challenges facing all entrepreneurs. Our owner-managers are themselves entrepreneurs who, like our clients, want to build an even stronger firm to pass on to the next generation. Over more than 200 years, we have built up experience and specialist wealth management expertise that puts us in an ideal position to offer independent advice. Entrepreneurial clients feel a deep connection with our partners as they can speak with them on the same level, business owner to business owner.
In this day and age, there is a lot to be said about the impact of our surroundings on how happy and productive we are at work. And leaving amazing success stories and recent troubles of co-working spaces aside, the discussion about what our employers and we ourselves can do to make the workplace more creative and functional is becoming increasingly important. Beyond just shaking off stuffy corporate culture and the depressing confines of a cubicle world, there is now a growing appreciation for what thoughtful design and indeed good furniture can do for our health and the greater company culture. This week we meet David Kale, the founder and CEO of Fully. A Portland-based company designing desks and chairs, it says encourage a more active and energetic work environment, from standing desks and ergonomic chairs to clever storage and lighting solutions. David is originally from New Orleans and started his professional life as an accountant, an exciting career that took him from Los Angeles to Mexico City and eventually to Manhattan, where in the year 2000, David was a senior executive at a Fortune 500 company. And although he had an incredible salary, the reality of corporate culture was starting to eat at him, where he was increasingly aware of the problems created by an office that encouraged working long hours and keeping your feelings and emotions hidden. And then September 11th happened. The pain and horror of that day and the aftermath eventually drove David to make a drastic change and to focus on building positive work environments and inspiring connections in the workplace. And so, Fully was launched in 2006, and is a company today of more than 100 people. Fully is also a B Corp, and like all certified B corporations we've had on this program, means they are committed to impact and sustainability throughout the business. Last year, the company moved into the European Union by acquiring Belgian furniture startup Jazzwig. And then, earlier this year, Fully was itself acquired by Pennsylvania-based Knoll, which has more than 80 years' experience in the furniture manufacturing business. Here's David now with the story of Fully.
Well, we are a company that creates, designs furniture that encourages more embodiment, more movement in the workplace, so that we can have a better relationship to our work, so that our energy is more present in our bodies and we can create better, we can think better, we can do whatever better.
So how did you start thinking about this? Because obviously there are so many different ways that we can do that, but this is particularly in furniture and the actual physical space and the actual design of where we are. So when did you start to think about that?
Well, I wasn't really, I don't think, thinking about it when it was happening, when I was sitting in bad furniture. I'm originally a CPA, I'm a recovering accountant. So a certified public accountant and working long hours in uninspiring, unergonomic furniture. And I was walking past the mirror one day and I said, well, what's my dad doing in my apartment here? And I was looking at myself, the posture that I had. I was in my late 20s and I looked like an old man and I felt like an old man. So the furniture that I was using just wasn't taking very good care of me. I always knew that I wanted to start a business. And after some awakening of what to do, why to do it, I thought this is a great opportunity to create things that are really better for us so that we feel better, so that we have a better relationship to ourselves and to others in the workplace.
In this day and age, a lot of companies are starting to think about this and the well-being of their employees and the space that they create. You worked for a lot of big companies, Pricewaterhouse, I think, among them in your career as an accountant. So you were used to this corporate environment, which maybe doesn't always have the best choice in furniture or you know, workspace. So is that sort of what really got you thinking about this, is how you had spent your time before and also how you were feeling?
For sure. I really was in the middle of the one-size-fits-all mentality when I was in my early part of my professional career, where we had cubicles and there was everybody got the same kind of task chair with the same minimum and maximum height, and everybody got a certain number of square feet, and you were to go to your cubicle and do your thing. So I knew then that I wasn't connecting well with others, and I guess it wasn't until later, some events that happened in my life, specifically 9/11, when I had a wake-up call and realized that I just felt super disconnected from everybody in my work. I think we all want to feel like we belong. We all want to feel like we're creating things individually and together and feel like that people appreciate us for who we are. So that was kind of the big picture around creating products that encourage us to be who we are. And we can only do that when we feel comfortable, when we feel safe. And I think a lot of the corporations back when I was in my early part of my career really weren't thinking about those things. They weren't thinking about culture as much. They were potentially maybe thinking about cognitive culture some, but not so much the emotional culture that we know now is so important. Mm.
Yeah, can we dig into that a little bit? I was so curious to read about your experience in 9/11 and that sort of personal communication that you sort of woke up to, and that we weren't really doing that in our world until something bad happens, really.
It's true. For me, I was working and my career had evolved into a really great role in mergers and acquisitions on Wall Street. I was working for a large Fortune 500 company, and obviously we all know what happened on 9/11, but on September 12th, when I was walking to work in New York, I took that long walk down Broadway that I've taken so many times before, but unlike the other days when I was just disengaged, counting my steps or looking for some kind of distraction, I was actually looking people in the eye and connecting with them at a deeper level. And I think maybe for the first time in my life, allowing them to look me deep in the eye. And it started to wear down my walls of letting people in and recognizing that I'm really a human and I have my own flaws. And by the time I got to work, I was so moved by the connections I was feeling with others that I was in tears. And when I got to work, my coworkers looked at me kind of funny, like, what's going on with you? That's when I really, the light bulb went off for me that this isn't for me. I need to really explore who I am more deeply and work in environments that allow me to be who I am more deeply. And I don't want to hide who I am. I want to embrace all that I am, and I want everybody to feel like they can do that. So that was the beginning of the journey for me. I don't think I didn't have all of the pieces to the puzzle put up yet, but that was the light bulb that I needed to make a change, and I needed to move in a direction that was going to be better for me.
That's fascinating. I wonder if somewhere inside of you then, all that time, you were an entrepreneur, you were someone that was going to be a leader and start to make change for other people. Was that part of it, do you think?
I'm not sure. I feel like I've always been someone who has wanted to fit in some way and not necessarily lead. But I think what I found, and there are a lot of people like me now, is you don't necessarily have to be a leader in the traditional sense to be a great leader for others and to be a role model for others. I've always been one that tried to blend in and not really stand out. I don't think I ever really thought I was going to be an entrepreneur, but I knew I wanted to do something that was going to make a difference.
When you decided to set out on your own, what did that look like? What were the early days of trying to create a brand and trying to create a company?
Well, for several years, I didn't really know for sure what I was going to do. And like any process, it's a connection of a whole bunch of different life experiences that eventually start dripping and coming together and to illuminate a path forward. So after I resigned from my job on September 12th, I took a lot of time off and just wanted to reconnect with who I was. Maybe I'd like to say rediscover, but maybe just discover, because I don't think I really knew who I was. I hadn't allowed myself to see what it was like to be a gay, awkward person working in the financial markets where everyone has more of a bro culture. So giving me the opportunity to peel back some of the layers of the onion for me and see what I was all about. I took some time and went on some meditation retreats, backpacked around, read books about brain neurology and integration, and realized that companies in general aren't really paying a lot of attention to how their employees feel emotionally at work. And I wanted to do something about that. I wanted to create a culture that was inclusive, that was a place where people felt like they could bring their full selves to work and they were belonging and they were part of something bigger. For me, I knew that office furniture in general needed to evolve.
Yeah.
It needed to evolve because in order for us to be human, we needed to have furniture around us that allowed that to happen.
Yeah, to make you feel comfortable or just more like yourself, I guess, because if you're in discomfort or set up in a way that you're not connecting to people around you, that makes a big difference because we spend so much of our time at work. Tell me about the early designs then, the early products you thought that might help you sort of create this brand.
Well, I'm an accountant, so I had no design experience whatsoever. Mm. So the beginning stages for me was, the beginning stage was creating a portfolio of products that inspired me, that were great for movement, that were designed by others. The Norwegians, the Scandinavians in general, and the Europeans are really good at creating furniture that is both functional and has an emotional element to it that draws us in. So I assembled about six or seven active sitting chairs, I called them, which at the time, using the words active and sitting next to each other were just crazy. And I started to do a website directly to consumers because as part of this premise of wanting to connect deeper with ourselves and others, I knew if I wanted to build this company, I needed to have a direct relationship as well with customers and not go through the traditional route of dealers. And at that time, that really wasn't an option. So I created the website, put that portfolio of chairs around, and soon after realized that I really wanted to create a height-adjustable table to accompany these. At that time, this was 2009, 2010, the height-adjustable tables on the market were very expensive. They looked like they all belonged in hospitals or in industrial settings. They just weren't very aesthetic. So I, for the first time, tried to create my own product. And it's funny because I have no industrial design experience whatsoever. I knew what I wanted. I knew functionally what it needed to be, and I had a vision in my head of how it should look. So I partnered with a company that actually makes hospital beds. I realized in my research that linear actuators, which are the machines that make the lifting columns go up and down on our height-adjustable tables, are actually the same products that are in hospital beds that go up and down for patients. So I worked with this company, with their engineering team, and about 9 months later, we had a product, and my goal was to have the first electric height-adjustable desk that was under $1,000. And doing it directly to consumers. So that happened in 2013.
And did that take off? Were people starting to order these? What was that like?
Well, for the first couple of weeks, it really didn't take off. And I thought, wow, this was a really bad experiment. We started to get some online reviews and bloggers and third parties who were buying our desks and testing them out and writing great things about them. So it started to take off about 2 months after we released it, and then within a year, the desk was outselling all of our chairs combined, and it really started to take off in 2014. We also started to have a lot of wind at our back in terms of people were starting to talk more about wellness in the workplace and wellness in general, and we can't be expected to just go to the gym for an hour or take a run, and it's all going to be fine after that. We needed to live a full life where we were active. So we certainly had some luck as well of the wind at our back with overall just trends in the market of wellness, and people started buying things more from us. And then it grew from there. And now our Jarvis table is, we've sold more than 100,000 of them in the market.
In this market, I guess you were a bit lucky that it is a time where people are starting to trust more, buying things online, the direct-to-consumer. In a way, some of the work is being done for you in the reviews that are being done, and that is nice. But at the same time, it's all about that good design and getting the product out there and making sure it's good and it's sound. How are you dealing with production? Where was this produced, and where did you sort of gain expertise in that side of the business?
Well, like a good accountant, I did a lot of research and made my spreadsheets and looked at all the different factories that were out there. For me, I didn't want to just find any old factory as well. I wanted to find a factory that was aligned with my values too. And I knew that if I had to reach a price point under $1,000, I was going to need to do it in Asia. We chose a company called Jichang that's in China, and I needed to just trust that they knew what they were doing. There were a lot of meetings that were difficult because I don't speak Chinese. They didn't speak English really well. You know, when you have a vision and you want something to happen, light shines down on you and you find the way. And I wasn't going to take no for an answer. And we just wanted to build something great that was inexpensive and reasonably priced, but that also invited you in, that had bamboo work surface, for example. Bamboo wasn't really popular back then. So looking back on it now, I think it was probably one of the craziest things to do, to risk everything, to move in a direction, to create this height adjustable desk and have people buy things online for $800. And back then, people were not even buying ticket items that were more than $400, $500 online. And now people will buy a house unseen. They'll just go online and look at all the pictures and make an offer. But that wasn't the reality back then.
Tell me a little bit about Impact, because you are a certified B company as well, and we've actually had a fair number of those on this show, heads of companies that are certified B. In some senses, it's set up that way to give you a guiding document, a guiding purpose, but in other sense, it's something to work towards. So how did that journey start for you in becoming a certified B company?
Well, I didn't know anything about B Corps until about 2013. I was at dinner with a friend of mine, and I said, you know, I wish there was some kind of designation between being a nonprofit and being a for-profit that would define my company a little bit better. And she said, actually, have you heard of this B Corp movement that's happening? And I started to research it, and the more I read about it, the more I got fired up about it. And the idea of being able to use business as a force for good was exactly in the ethos of the kind of company that I wanted to build, the kind of products that I wanted to build. It was just the message that I wanted to do in terms of our whole brand promise of showing up fully and connecting and doing the right thing. Because I think when we're more in our bodies, we listen to our hearts, we listen to our bodies, and we do better things. We make better decisions for ourselves and others. So we became a certified B Corp in 2013, and I feel like having a lot of CEO colleagues who are also B Corps, I think what's great about this B Corp movement is what each CEO or each board feels like is their connection to this movement, using business as a force for good, is a little bit different for everybody. For some people, it's more about the environment. For some people, it's more about strong communities, employee ownership. There are so many things that this B Corp movement is comprised of, and I think that's great. It's not just one thing. And I love that B Lab is continuing to evolve their B Impact assessment so that as the economy evolves and as businesses continue to get better and take more accountability into what they're doing, we're making the assessment harder and harder. And, you know, once you become a B Corp, I don't think it's over. It's just the beginning of the journey. It's just like wanting to continuously improve with diversity, equity, and inclusion type of mindset. You just continue to go along a path of intention and see how good of a company you can make it. So I'm a really big champion of this B Corp movement. I think the time is right. Corporations have so much power in the world. They have so much capital. They have so much influence. And I think it's up to all of us to make sure we're using those for forces of good. And I'm really proud to be a B Corp, and I'm excited to also serve on the board in the Pacific Northwest and the U.S. in our B Local to try and build communities at a local level as well, so that we can support one another, experience share with one another, partner with one another, and create communities as well that are really steeped in this idea of making the world better.
It must be a pretty exciting place to be in now, because you're both in that world of wellness and helping others to think about how we work or how we are in our office environment, but also on the impact side, when everyone's talking about sustainability and what our company is going to do to be drivers of change. So you're sort of in both worlds. That must be interesting.
It's great. It's wonderful to build a company and be in a business that is improving people's lives and doing it with intention. So we just went through a capital raise as well. And I think this is one of the really exciting things about this movement as well, is this idea of impact capital, this idea of investors that want to make more than a financial return. They want to make a social return, and they're looking at businesses who are about something. They're looking at businesses who are making some kind of social change or moving in a direction that's moving the needle. And I think that these days we live in an exciting time, as not only are corporations moving in this direction of having more responsibility and accountability, But investors are demanding as well that their dollars be spent and invested in companies that are about something. So it's exciting to be able to now go to financial markets, and there are literally hundreds of venture capital, private equity offices, family offices that are self-proclaimed impact investors that are in their own way looking to do things beyond just make financial returns.
All those years ago on Wall Street, I bet you couldn't have imagined sort of the ecosystem we're in now and the strength and power of impact investing, as you've just said. We probably have more to do, though. Is that not right in this world?
Absolutely. This is just the beginning of what I hope to be a movement that is going to evolve for many, many years. I think we're recognizing that capitalism works when everybody gets included in that. And there's a lot of important conversations happening right now. And I think we're just beginning to see the kinds of damages that capitalism can do when it's just unbridled. And being able to have corporations working in tandem with people and with the governments to build communities in a world that's better for all of us is something that I'm going to continue to do as long as I'm on this earth.
Well, that is very exciting to hear. I want to just hear, and I've taken a lot of your time, David. I do appreciate that. I just want to hear lastly about where Fully is going. What are you working on these days and what's next for that company?
We're continuing to build our portfolio out. We started with just active seating and then moved into active workstations. Now we're into the entire active office. So getting your flow on in the office, loving your work more, creating work environments that maximize human potential and put us in our bodies neurologically, physically, emotionally, so that we can show up with our best selves. So we're going to continue to grow each category that we're in and create this direct model with businesses and consumers where they can interact directly with the business that's building the furniture, designing the furniture, delivering the furniture, standing behind the furniture, and helping them create workspaces that are appreciating everybody for who they are and making the world a little bit better.
Just one more question. You said you're off to Scandinavia. How much are you still thinking about research and design and how important that is to where you're going?
I'm always thinking about it. The Scandinavians, I think, have been just fantastic at working with less and creating things that are just amazingly beautiful. We're part of a bigger group of companies now with Knoll, who purchased us a few months ago. And one of their constellation companies is in Denmark. It's called Muto. And so we're looking forward to collaborate with them on product design. It's a really exciting time for Fully as an accountant who had really no design experience whatsoever, now part of a company like Knoll with such a storied past, a woman founder, some of the most classic furniture of all time, alongside with Muto, which is arguably maybe one of the best Scandinavian design companies out there. So I'm really excited to see where these kinds of tools take us. We have a lot of gas in our gas tank now, and we have a company that's aligned on a lot of different levels with us. So I'm excited to see where we can take this in the many years to come.
That's all the time we have on today's show. Thank you very much to David Kahle, CEO and founder of Fully, for coming in to share his story. Thanks as well to Nora Hull, who mixed and edited this show. I'm Daniel Bache. Thank you so much for listening, and goodbye.